Forgotten, The Frozen North, Chapter 3, Premonitions. A long time ago, Spike made his way down the hallway of the Crystal Castle second floor towards the dining room. He got nods of acknowledgement from passing EUP guards.
"Good morning, Spike the Brave and Glorious,"
one greeted as he passed through the doors to the dining room. It was mostly staff in the skeleton third shift, either eating before their duty started or after, before turning in. He smirked that even after all this time, that title still made its way around up here. He stepped up to the kitchen window, where the castle chef was overlooking a small kitchen staff prepare more food for the buffet line.
"Good morning, Turnip,"
Spike greeted.
"Oh, morning, Spike,"
the crystal pony replied.
"The usual?"
The dragon nodded, licking his lips.
"Say, where's the princess? She's usually down here by now,"
Spike commented, as Turnip returned to the window with a bowl of varied crystals for Flurry's royal advisor.
"Oh, she took a small plate and went to her private dining room. It looks like she had another rough night,"
the chef commented, sliding the bowl over to the dragon.
"I'll be checking on her then. Thanks, Turnip."
Spike took the bowl in his claws, popping a couple of crystals in his mouth as he exited the dining hall, going up two flights of stairs to the fourth floor, the royal wing. He stepped up to the second door on the left and knocked three times.
"Come on in,"
came the tired reply, as she likely knew who it was. Spike opened the door and saw Princess Flurryheart sitting at her dining table looking positively sleep-deprived, as she magically poked at a light helping of hay and hash browns with a fork.
"Oh, are we Flurry worrying again?"
Spike asked as he came up to the table, sitting down across from her.
"Spike, what was rule number 4?
She asked, leering at him, half annoyed by the lack of sleep.
"No making you a verb,"
Spike muttered, beginning to munch on two more crystals.
"So, rough night? The nightmares are back?"
Flurryheart set the fork down on her plate.
"They never stopped for 2 weeks now. Neither has this weather,"
Flurry said, motioning to the window where the wind continued to howl. She let out an exasperated sigh.
"It's always exactly the same, every single night for 2 weeks. That's not a nightmare, Spike. That's premonition."
Flurry picked up her fork and took another small bite of hash browns.
"I don't want to try and make sense of it alone, but as far as I know, there are no dreamwalkers nearby, and there haven't been for years."
Spike continued to listen, as he had learned long ago that listening was just as effective as talking to a great advisor.
"Mama's right. Watching over this place is painfully predictable, but when I wanted more excitement around here, I wasn't talking about end-of-the-world scenarios,"
Flurry told him.
"Well, to be fair, that's frequently what it was when things got exciting back in Twilight's day,"
Spike countered.
"I'm sure things were a bit more manageable when there were 4 or 5 alicorns instead of just one."
"Oh, you'd be surprised,"
Spike offered.
"I lost track of how many times we would have to talk Twilight down before we could start formulating a plan of action. Talk, breathe, plan."
"Talking isn't going to help, Spike!"
Flurry snapped, then took a breath, adamant on not letting the lack of sleep get to her.
"What I mean is, things are worse than I've ever seen. We are losing Equestria, Spike. Bit by bit, every day. The Everfee Forest down in the Central Valley is slowly expanding, and Ponyville can't stop it. Cloudsdale has been gone for 6 months. Thousands of Pegasi refugees are causing overcrowding in Canterlot, and the last reports I received say that open revolt in the city is inevitable."
Flurry paused to take a drink of water.
"It's easy to separate ourselves from it all when we're all the way up here. But if this weather gets much worse, staying here won't be an option. And I don't want to send my populace down into all of that. It makes me wonder if Tyrek, Cozy, and Chrysalis really were successful in the long term. If we've all forgotten the lessons Twilight and her friends taught us long ago."
Spike sat and continued into his bowl of crystals, while his princess and friends continued her heart pouring.
"A year ago, I figured reaching my bicentennial would be nothing more than a painfully long wait. But now I'm wondering if we'll make it another 3 years.
I say this every year, but for 197, you don't look a day over 40.
He said, with a gentle smile. Flurry managed a small smile back.
"Whatever this premonition is trying to tell me, the Crystal Heart is involved. And if I don't figure it out, I fear that this city is doomed to a grave of ice and snow."
Flurry said, turning her attention to the blowing snow outside the window. Now, it was Spike's turn to take a deep breath and let it out slowly.
"Look, what I'm about to tell you, I was sworn to secrecy. But if you really, truly believe that this is serious, that our world hangs in the balance of whatever you're experiencing at night, then I think they'll understand,"
Spike said, his tone quite serious all of a sudden.
"What do you know, Spike?"
Flurry asked.
"I know where you can find a dreamwalker. She's closer than you think."
Chapter 4, Gearing Up. In the present, 2 days later...
The best cold simulation they can possibly do in this entire factory is walking into the kitchen's walk-in freezer.
Zip asked as they walked towards the cafeteria.
Well, we don't really deal with crazy sub-zero temperatures around here, so it's the best that they could do on short notice.
Sunny told her, as she and her five friends entered the cafeteria, heading back towards the kitchen. After she had taken a look at the Scouticus Maximus, all-terrain vehicle Kentrologic had designed for their journey, she sent out a text to their group chat, asking who wanted to tag along with her and Sprout for what would likely be around a week to 10 days. The other four had immediately volunteered. Queenhaven had some reservations about the distance as it was considerably farther than a half day's hike down the mountain, but after Zip assured her of all the precautions that they were taking, as well as the best cold weather gear Zephyr Heights' top outfitters were providing, she relented. Said outfitters were already here, waiting by the doorway to the kitchen, along with several clothing racks containing wool articles of clothing all varying degrees of tan and brown.
Greeting, princesses, we are here to get you and your friends outfitted for extreme cold.
One of the two stallions announced. Sunny counted quickly and it looked like there would be 10 pieces per pony. 4 hoof boots, back half, front half, a neck gaiter, scarf, goggles, and a cap.
What about the holes for the wings?
Pip asked as she looked over the barrel and chest piece.
Out of the question.
Her older sister replied.
Where we're headed, there's some kind of weird blizzard in the front of the mountains. We couldn't get anywhere close in the air, it was that cold. We made camp for a day, and it didn't seem to move an inch. It would certainly explain why there haven't been any explorers up there.
Piece by piece, the outfitters helped each pony into appropriately sized snowsuits, and when she was fully clad, Sunny was quite eager to step into the freezer.
We can provide 2 suits for each member of your party, because we highly recommend letting each piece dry completely between excursions. Dampness hinders the insulation considerably.
The other outfitter told them. When they were all dressed, they filed one by one into the kitchen's large walk-in freezer, which the staff had temporarily set to negative 20, just for an hour to avoid freezer burn on any of the food. Sunny was amazed. When she stepped into what must have been frigid air, she didn't notice much more than a very mild chill.
Not bad.
She heard Hitch say, under the gaiter and goggles. In fact, aside from Pip's height, the only way to tell each other apart were voices, manes, and Izzy's horn.
How's your horn, Izzy?
Sunny asked.
Just fine. Magic spells keep it perfectly warm.
Her friend replied.
So when do we move out?
Sprout asked, clearly one of the most excited.
We're still getting some food stores put on the vehicle. Shouldn't take more than a couple of days.
Sunny explained.
Once we're underway, I think Sprout should take each one of you through some of the basics on how to drive it, just in case you need to. Before we get to trickier terrain where he'll be doing most of the driving.
Sprout's gaiter moved just enough to where she could tell that he was smiling excitedly.
If I can see through the engine noise and the fact that our sleeping spots will be moving, I think it'll be best if we just keep him moving as close to all the time as we can.
Sounds like we're sticking around until we're ready to head out.
Zip said.
Any pony up for laser tag? I saw that arena on the way into town this morning.
Ooh, ooh!
Sprout said, removing his headgear as they began to file out of the freezer.
You're on!
I mean, hey, if all you got is a walk-in freezer to test something out, better than nothing. Anyways, let's get on to our efficient donators. Top donators are 630, J10Man, Darkside, Only One Thing, and Saru Orion. Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Pastel Skies, Austin Roland, Stu Hex, Sword Brother and Margit, Omicron Lyrae, Will Chris, Twinkie, Hadzaza, Riot Soul, Iron Sky, Badass Waffle, Shadow Moon, and many more bright people. Thank you all so much for watching this video and live life to the fullest.